We're going to continue this morning in our study as we look through. We've been looking at the Ten Commandments that God gave to Moses. And our basis for this was the basic morality of the world that we live in today. I believe that there are foundational things, and we talked about in our Sunday school class this morning the foundational things of what we believe, and we believe that that boiled down basically to salvation. That's a foundational understanding of God that you've got to have to go through life. The Apostle Paul says over in his writings over in the Galatian book, it says, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ." It's important that we as God's people have an understanding. I believe that it's more than an understanding. I believe it's an obligation for those of us who have been saved by God's grace that as we better know and understand God's Word, it better empowers us or better enables us to lift up God's name and to give Him honor and glory with our lives. And the way that we live and the things that we say and do in the life outside of this building, I believe it's important for us that we have that solid foundation. Of course, the Apostle Paul said the law was a schoolmaster to bring him to the knowledge of Christ, to bring him to the understanding of Jesus and what he did. So then again, you go back and say that it's a foundational thing to know and understand just what God's Word teaches us. It points to Jesus. So as we look at some of these things, we'll be looking at verse 7 in the 20th chapter of the book of Exodus. It says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." You think about, as I was reading this, basically, you think about vain. Taking God's name in vain. Vanity, deceit, deception, malice, and falsehood. Emptiness. Vanity has this definition to it. You think of the world that we live in, and you think of the deceit, the deception, the falsehoods, the emptiness that people are going through the world striving for one of these days, it's empty. There are people in this world that are doing everything they can do to build up mountains of money, you know, to gain all the wealth that they can have. People that are out there, they're trying to gain all the power and all the prestige and all the fame and the fortune that they can have. But the Bible says that that's vanity. Without God being the one that's projected in front, without giving honor to God and showing God honor and glory, all those things, without Him giving them to you, is vanity. It's vanity. It's emptiness. You think about so many of the things. I guess when I was thinking about this, you know, you think about taking the Lord's name in vain. You think about the things that people say. The utter disrespect that comes out of people's mouth when they are and using God's name to be involved in their cursing or whatever it is that they are saying. The utter depravity that comes out of their mouth, the emptiness. Well, I was told a long time ago, people that use that language, they just don't know the Lord in the first place. But it's a sign of ignorance. It's a sign of ignorance for somebody to curse and profane God's name. They don't truly know the God that we serve. They just don't know Him. And in this reading it says that the Lord will not hold them guiltless. That means there's punishment that's going to be involved in this. People don't get away with saying whatever they want, however they want to say it, whenever they want to say it. It just don't happen. I mean, many people think that they do, and that people's actions can make them be that way and make them bulletproof, but guess what? It doesn't happen. In the book of Matthew, in the fifth chapter, in the 33rd verse, it says, "Again, ye have heard that it's been said by them of old time, that thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by earth, for it is His footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the King, of the great King. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. Let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. Let it be yes and no," is what it's saying. "For whatsoever is more than these things cometh evil." Jesus said here in the writing of his first sermon that was recorded here in this fifth chapter of the book of Matthew, that when it comes to forswearing or committing perjury, I guess you will, against God, that to make your answers yes or no. We live in a world today that people, they make their livings on, I guess, projecting or swearing by something greater than themselves. People use the Lord, they swear upon the Lord, you know, that this is the way it is. You know, that this is better than that. You think about all the things that, you know, and I've heard these things since I was a kid. You know, people doing these things, swearing. You know, people swearing upon the Bible, swearing upon God's name, and all these different things. But it's something that's not to be taken lightly. In the book of Hebrews, I've got a lot of verses today that I'd like to look at a little bit. It all has a meaning. In the sixth chapter of the book of Hebrews, in the 16th verse, it says, "For men verily swear by the greater. And an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife." So men verily swear by the greater. Basically, you know, when we want to try to prove a point or something, we want to make a point that we're so emphatic about it that we're right about this, you know, it's like, "I swear by so and so that this is what? This is right. This is true." But we need to be very careful according to what God's Word says about this. Jesus told them in His writings, and you know, He said over here about, I believe it's about the 22nd chapter of the book of Genesis, that, you know, Jesus made covenants. He made covenant promises. He made oaths. God did to the world. He swore. And the Bible says because there was none greater that He could swear by, He swore by Himself. In our reading here, it says that everything that was, this earth is His footstool. This is the Lord's. The Lord, we believe that God is in control of everything. God is in control of everything. There's no happenstance or accidents. God is in control of everything. That's hard for us to grasp in our mentality sometimes. We want to think many times that, that it was luck, good luck, bad luck, whatever. But I just don't believe that. I believe the Bible teaches that God is in control. He's in control of everything. In the 15th chapter of the book of Matthew, in verses 8 and 9, and I wanted to get to these verses before I go any further, it says, "The people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." And I believe when it's all said and done, and when it's all boiled down, and when you put it right down to it, it's what comes from the heart. The Bible says the heart is a deceitful thing. It speaks lies and deaths and murders, and there's all kinds of things that comes. But it says the evil is that when it comes out of your mouth. When it comes out of your mouth, when you speak it with your mouth and you bring these things forward with your mouth. "People draweth nigh to me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me." In vain. In vanity. They worship God and not knowing what their words say. Over here in Genesis, we read about Abraham. And it says, "And Abraham called the name of this place Jehovah Jireh, and said unto this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." Basically, Jehovah Jireh meaning the Lord will provide. "And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself I have sworn." God said, "By myself I have sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, in that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of thy enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." The Lord swore by himself because he could swear by no greater. You and I are told to let our speech be yea, yea, and nay, nay. Yes and no. For the fact that it won't take us into evil. The Old Testament. Man, there's a lot of verses for all you that's been reading through Leviticus and really enjoying it. In the 19th chapter of the book of Leviticus, "And ye shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shalt thou profane the name of God. I am the Lord." And when I read this, "Swear by my name falsely, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God," I believe that boils down to the heart. I believe the things that come from the heart, the things that come from the heart that we say out of our mouth, is what the Lord is having reference to when he said, "Thou shalt not take my name in vain." The things that come from our heart. You know, we can be passionate about things, can't we? Whether they're right or wrong, we can be passionate about it. We can be caring, we can be loving, we can be hateful, and we can be mean. All these things stirs up and boils up from out of our heart. I believe that we can go against God and we can say things that's contrary to God, and I believe that we can put God's name in vain when we're not careful about what we say and handling the words of God. I believe that we can as far as the covenant, those of you that are members of this church, I believe that we can profane God's name by not fulfilling the covenant, by not following God's word, and by not living the life that we're supposed to live. I believe that's profaning of God's name. Because when we go out into the world and we live like the devil and we walk into church doors and we act like a saint, there's something wrong with that, isn't there? There is something wrong. Who is being offended in this point? God. God is being offended. You know, this is, you get to looking this and studying this, and it's a really close line about lying, you know. It's really borderline of lying, of saying lies and being deceitful, and you can just think of all the things that go along with that as far as vanity goes and profaning the name of God. Man, that's everywhere. I don't know. Most of you know I drive a UPS truck. I'm a delivery guy for UPS, and I drive around my little brown truck, and I go from door to door and deliver packages, and I see a lot of people, and I see a lot of stuff. If you don't think that the world that we live in is so depraved and without God, so unknowing of an almighty God, I'd invite you just to come with me in a day or two of work. Where you go through neighborhoods and you see people's homes and their houses and you meet them and they talk to you and they tell you awful things. Things that I tell them, I don't even want to hear it. I don't want to know. That they're so proud of. It's getting off my subject. But this week I was so, so heavy, wore out of the things that I was seeing, the lack of the morals, the foundation of God in people's lives, in their homes. God is just wasn't there at all. No resemblance of God anywhere. Oh, it got me down this week. It weighed heavy, heavy, heavy on my mind and heart. If you think the world is not like this, you've got blinders on. If you think all to being good is what you see when you come into God's house, into this church, or the people that come here, you've got blinders on. Because it's so far past that. When I tell you, when I try with all my heart to stand up here and preach God's word and teach the morals of God's word, there's a reason behind it. It's not for me or about me. It's to help us. It's to help us stay in the condition, in the position where we can serve God, that He would be pleased with us and bless us, that He would save our lost souls, that He would not turn His back on us. If the preaching and the teaching of the truth of God's Word hurts or stings, well, change. Change your life into a godly life in a godly manner, and it'll be a blessing when you come to church. It won't be feel like you're sitting on nails. You won't be so uncomfortable and unhappy about serving an almighty God that gave His Son for the sins of this world. It'll be great and glorious and a blessing that God has allowed you to come in today. That's the way you'll see it. It puts a spin. It puts a different perspective on life. When you start following and doing these things, and when as we go through and look at these commandments, these foundations of the morals that the world is it's gone. It is so sparse out there. Oh yeah, there's spots and specks. There's people that I come upon that have a godly type lifestyle. Do they know the Lord? I don't know. Lord does. But they are few. Believe me, they are few. And to think otherwise, we're fooling ourselves. That's the importance of for us as God's people to be grounded in these things, to know and understand the truth, and to walk out those doors and be a light to the world and show them all that, hey, I've got something that I want to tell you about. Hey, I know Jesus. He saved my soul. I come to the understanding that I was lost when I was a boy. God told me that I was lost. He convicted me. He showed me. And He enabled me to seek an almighty God. A God that created the heavens and the earth. I'm talking a big thing. He enables me to come to Him and to talk to Him and to ask Him for soul salvation. He didn't look down upon me as actually what I am. Just a sinner. He loved me so much that He sent His Son to die for me. I look at all these things and you say something to, you know, you can say some things to people and you can get some really crazy off the wall answers. But most of it boils down to they don't know God. They don't care. They don't care what they say or what they do. And we, as God's people, we can't do that. We can't do that. This, you know, you talk about, you think about, I was thinking about this last night and reading in the last couple of verses of the Bible. In the 22nd chapter of the book of Revelations, it says in 18th, 19th verse, it says, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part in the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." His word, his truth, the foundation of God and the morals of this of his world that he gave us is so, so, so important. Old Testament law, oaths were to be made into God's name. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve Him, and thou shalt swear by His name. I believe that in the Old Testament there was something to be said about fear that we don't have anymore. When people turned to God and spoke to God, there was a fear and awe and a reverence to Him. They understood. These people in Old Testament, they understood. They seen things happen by demonstration. They seen a cloud of fire by day and a pillar of fire by night. They seen these things. They saw the parting of the waters of the Red Sea. They saw these things. They had a visual manifestation that there was a greater and higher power, a God to serve. They saw it. You and I today, we don't have that. We have a writing and a teaching of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We have God's Word to teach us, to show us. And those of us that have been saved by God's grace, we also have a greater power and a demonstration of God that we can know and understand that there is a God, don't we? Because we have an experimental knowledge when the Lord saved our soul that allowed us to know that God was real because He's in our hearts. We have that. We know that and we understand that. The world today, without all the things, and you can look in business and politics and religion, science, it doesn't make any difference. All these different areas. I mean, you think about it. We this country was founded on "In God We Trust," wasn't it? And yet today they won't post the commandments in any public building, will they? Any government building? They won't allow things like that in school, no prayer. Do you think that's taking God's name in vain? Absolutely, I do. I absolutely do. I believe that when we as God's people use the Holy Spirit of God to get our way or to be able to do what we want to do, I believe that's taking the Lord's name in vain. I believe that when we stand and say things like, "The Lord has led me to do this, and the Lord ain't a bit more in it than a man in the moon," I believe it's taking the Lord's name in vain. And I believe it is serious. I believe when things like that happen, the presence of the Lord leaves the building. I believe when man wants to take over and do things himself, then the Lord will let them. If nothing else, to let them see how big of a mess that they can make out of it themselves. So many times the people of Israel wanted to stray away from God. They wanted to have their own king. They wanted to do this. They wanted to do that. They wanted to do it all for themselves. They didn't want the leadership of the Lord. And all these times I got into all those messes. And all the horrible things that happened to them, all the deaths and the things that happened to them. Because they refused to put God first in their lives. I believe it's the same way for us. I believe that we can do the same thing, and I believe that we can take the Lord's name in vain by doing all these things. I've got, wow, there's many, many, many verses here. And I'm going to read just a few of them before I close. I know I don't want to keep you too long, and I know that food's probably smelling good coming up them steps, but these are important things, and I want to look through them just a little bit, and then we'll do that. In the book of James, it says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart any filthiness or superfluity or naughtiness, and receive the meekness of the ingrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain." It's vain. What did it say about taking the Lord's name? It's out of context or in the wrong way. It's vain. In the book of James, we look at here, in the first verse, in the first chapter, 19th verse, it says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear." That's just what I read. First John 1:6-10. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. We do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. I'm going to stop right there. You know, the Bible talks of repentance all throughout the book. Repentance is just as an important part of a Christian's life as it is for a lost sinner that's doomed to a devil's hell. Each and every one of us sin. I don't know anybody, never met anybody that was perfect, and only read about one, and that was Jesus. It's important that each and every person gets that fresh cleansing and stays in the place where they need to be with God. If you're a sinner in God's eyes, if the Holy Spirit of God has projected to you that you are a sinner, and allows you to know and understand that you're lost. And when I speak about lost, I'm talking about eternity. See, this is the important factor on that. Eternal things. What's going to happen when you die? What's going to happen when the Lord comes back? Eternal things. Bible says that he would have all to come to repentance. Why? Because he's revealed to you that you're a sinner. The Holy Spirit of God has revealed to you that you are a sinner. I didn't say you were a sinner. Brother Quinn didn't say you were a sinner. Brother Billy didn't say you were a sinner. The Holy Spirit of God reveals to you that you're a sinner. He speaks to your heart. He lets you know that there's something wrong. There's something not right with me and God. And when you come to that understanding, it says repent. Repent and believe in Jesus. Trust in Him with all your heart that you might be saved. Repent. If as I go through these things of the Ten Commandments and they hit you in some way as they have hit me as I have studied them, address the situation with the one that it matters the most. Just go to God. Get things straightened out. We need to get things straightened out in our lives. And, I hope and so much want that our influence just grows greater and greater day by day. But I'm going to be honest with you, I'm not seeing it. I hope and I want that to happen. I truly do. I want us all to be a great effect upon our families and our friends, to point them to Jesus that they'll be saved. And I pray that'll be what does happen. It's just, and I'm not trying to be negative. It might have been just the way the things has fell on me this week, but I'm not seeing it right now. So let's be prayerful to God. What can we do? Lord, what can I do? What can I do to have an effect, make a difference? To show this world the morals of an almighty God in my life. That's a big step. That's truly a big step. God bless y'all all is my prayer. I'll hush. I know everybody's tired of hearing me. But would there be a thought or a word on anyone's heart this morning? Anything else? If not, I will announce that after, and it's already been announced, I know, but some may not have been here. Mount Calvary is having a singing. Right, it's Mount Calvary, right? And congregational singing, and I think Gateways is going to join in with them. And for all those that want to go over after we get through eating and fellowship with them and sing with them at 2 o'clock, we've been invited. We've been invited. And I can't think of any more announcements right now. Will there be no service tonight? There'll be no service tonight. So, all hearts and minds clear. All standing, and we'll be dismissed. And Brother Billy, would you dismiss us and then and ask a blessing over the food? I'll say for it, we have food downstairs. All you that are visiting with us today, there's more than enough food, and it's really good. I know. I've eaten before, and there's some good cooks here. Please stay with us and eat, and we'd love to have you. Amen. Amen.